Good to be with you today. You know, the sound of the rain on the roof sometimes makes you sleepy. And if you can't go to sleep, if I can't go to sleep, then you can't go to sleep either. Because if I were at home and I was hearing that rain on the roof, it would make me sleepy. And so I'm going to bang on the pulpit a little bit. Just be prepared for that. But it's good to have everybody with us. Good day to be inside. And be together. We have been doing a series on why I believe the Bible. And we're going to take a pause on that this morning because I knew we were going to have some folks that were out of town that wanted to hear those lessons. So we're going to take a break from that series today. And today I want to talk about a disciple named Dorcas, which is found in the book of Acts. When we look in the book of Acts, chapter 7, we see that Stephen was a man who was an evangelist, and we see that he was stoned to death. We also see another death in Acts chapter 12, where James, an apostle of Christ, was also killed. Looking for a remote. And so here a couple of great workers in the church, they died, and of course people grieve because of the loss and buried those. But aside from that, you know, nothing was done about that in a miraculous way. But in Acts chapter 9, we read about a woman named Tabitha, or also known as Dorcas. And her loss was great when she died. And in fact, that loss was felt so profoundly that Peter raised her from the dead. Isn't that interesting that we see others that died and yet that was not done for them. But here is one that made such an impression that Peter raised her from the dead. So clearly she was, it was something special, and I want to read about her here in Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated meaning Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And she gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And so you can imagine the scene there when this loss here was so great that Peter became involved here. So clearly what we could see is that she was a special child of God. And we all need that type of individual among us. The church needs those that behave and serve in the same way that Dorcas did. So we want to look this morning about what it was that set her apart. We don't know a whole lot about her, but we can infer some things and see some things about her that we can apply to ourselves. First of all, we see that Dorcas was one that was abounding in deeds of kindness and charity, and this was something that she was very well known for. And the term abounding has an interesting definition according to lexicons. It means to be replete or covered over. It just means that's something that you do on a regular basis, that you're addicted to it. And so she was covered over in serving others. She was one that was her purpose. That was her goal. She wanted to serve others. And the text says that she did that continually with these good deeds. So not only did she just perform good works now and then, but it says that she continually did so. So it was a habit for her. And so that's something that we see that we also need to do as Christians, as was read this morning for us in Galatians chapter 6. And I want to look at a couple of verses there in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, where it tells us, "Do not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith." And so Paul, in Galatians chapter 6 says that we must never lose heart in doing good. And so there's instruction for us to serve one another, and especially those that in which we're the same household of faith, those that are our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that we should look for opportunities and serve each other in that way. And you know, this is a time of year during this holiday season when a lot of people think about service to others. But it's not something that should just be reserved for one time of year. It should be something that we look continually to do. And so this idea that she was covered over in continually doing good works, probably why there were so many people that were upset about her passing and the recognition that she was getting from those who she had served over the years. So we have to take opportunity to do good to all. That's an instruction for us. Sometimes we fall down on the job in that particular area. Sometimes we're very focused on how it is that we need to come together and how we need to worship and what we need to do when we worship. And then we forget about our responsibility toward some of these other areas in our life that may be neglected. But Dorcas was abounding in deeds of kindness and charity continually. It also indicates that she was one who sacrificed for others. You know, we're not told a whole lot about Dorcas and what her means, what kind of money she had, or how she was able to pay for the things that she did. But the thing we just need to recognize is that it was her money to do with what she wanted to. When we read about Ananias and Sapphira and what they did with the property that they had, and they lied about what they were going to do or what they had done with that money. They said that they had sold the land for a certain amount of money, and they lied about that, so it appeared that they gave everything that they had. And Peter, in his rebuke of them, told them that it was when it was your money, you could have done with it what you wanted. And so they had, if they had the means and they had the opportunity, they could have done whatever they wanted to with that. And so here, regardless of what Dorcas's means are, you see that she's taking what is hers and she's giving it away. It was her money, and she's taking the time to make garments, and those garments take materials, and so she's sacrificing some things that she could have kept for herself. She's sacrificing those things for others. And too often, I believe that we dream about how we would serve others if we had more time, or if we had more money or more means, and we picture, you know, what we would do if we were, you know, better off, and how we might use those things to serve others. And I know people usually think, well, if I had $1 million, or if I won Publishers Clearing House, I'd do this and this, and I'd pay off the church's mortgage, or I'd do these great things. And we think about what we would do if. But here is somebody that is doing something with what she has. And we need to think about that as well. What do I do with what it is that I currently have? We think about what we do in the future, or what will I do when I get out of school? What will I do when I get on my own, or after I'm married, or when the kids are out of the house, or when the kids are finished with college, or when we retire? Then I'll have more time, or I have more money to do these things and to serve others. And I don't know how much money she had. What I do know is that she evidently wasn't spending her time thinking about what she would do in the future if she had more. She was doing something with what she had. She figured out how to use what she had to serve others. Someone once said, it's not what you would do if a million were your lot. It is what you are doing with the dollar and a quarter you've got. And so you could tell that was written a long time ago because you're not going to do a whole lot with a dollar and a quarter. But you get the idea that what are you going to do with what it is that you have regarding time? Are you aware that in Dorcas's day there were only 24 hours in a day? There were only 24 hours in a day in Dorcas's time, just like it is today. So she had the same amount of time that you and I have. And she made choices about her time, and she chose to use part of that to serve others. And that means sacrifice. And sacrifice just isn't in materials, and not just money, but it's in time. And maybe you won't get something that you want. Maybe you won't selfishly keep things for yourself. Maybe you won't have time to do everything it is that you want to do, and you'll miss out on some things that you would like to buy or some things that you would like to do. But that's really what sacrifice is, right? Sacrifice is not, well, I've got this much left over, so I'm going to figure out something to do with it. Sacrifice is about giving something up. And that's, I believe that's what we can see in the life of Dorcas and the way that she was admired by others because of the way that she used what she had. And of course, you know, she didn't do everything. And this is something that I think you could infer from this account, is that what we see here is this one activity that's really highlighted here in her life. Maybe she did more, but it's really pointing out this thing that she excelled in. And what is that? She made clothes. And so she didn't do everything, evidently, but she did what she could. And we sometimes are often overwhelmed with all the work that needs to be done. We realize that there's no way that I can do it all. And so when we realize we can't do it all, we don't do anything. Or we look at other Christians who might be able to do things that we can't, and because we can't do what they can, we decide, well, you know, what I can do may not be that important, and we don't do anything. Well, that sounds really familiar, doesn't it? In the parable of the one talent man in Matthew chapter 25. Maybe some of you here aren't familiar with that. We'll go ahead and read that. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately to the one who had received the 5 talents and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more, but he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. And we need to understand that in the context here, the talent is a measure of money. It's not some gift like you're talented in some area and somebody else isn't. This is not that one person's more talented than another. It is that this is money. And so you could say this one had $500, this one had $1,000, whatever, and you get the idea. But the one who received the least amount of money went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 to me. See, I have gained 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. To everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here we have the one who has one talent who is afraid, well, I can't do much with that. And so therefore, in fear, he does nothing. But when the master rebukes him, explaining that you should have done something, you know, we might say, well, he just went and hid it in under the mattress or buried it in the ground. You know, that's where he is. He did nothing when he could have done at least a little bit. And when it comes to our lives as Christians, what is it that we're doing with what God has entrusted us with? Are we doing anything? Are we giving to others? Are we doing what Galatians tells us to do and looking for opportunities to assist those in the household of faith? Are we using our time? Are we using our talents? Are we using our money? Whatever it is that God has given us, or are we just burying it in the ground? I may not be able to do what somebody else does, but we can all do something. And we must do something. So what can you do? Can you cook? Can you clean? Can you fix clothes? Can you cut grass? Can you babysit? Can you visit the sick? Can you write cards of encouragement? Can you make encouraging phone calls? Can you write letters? Can you teach Bible classes? Can you conduct home studies? Can you have people in your home? Can you fix cars? Can you build things? Can you do handyman repairs? You see the point here. Can you hold others accountable to God's Word? Can you pray with people? Can you help others grow spiritually? So no matter how little or great you may think your abilities are, you can use those to serve others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. We must be disciples like Dorcas. Also, I think we can infer from the passage here, we see that Dorcas was focusing on one group of people. She didn't serve everyone, and but she served who she could. And when Paul arrived in Lydda and was brought to the room where Dorcas's body lay, note that he was not greeted by every disciple there in the church. He was greeted by the widows. He was greeted by the widows that Dorcas served. And I'm not saying that, well, Dorcas never did anything for anybody else except the widows. Have no way of knowing that. But Dorcas was really focused on this group, and these widows were focused on her because of what it was that she had done for them. She served who she could. So let's not be paralyzed in action when we look and we see everything that needs to be done. Let's do what we can. She did what she could. You know, years ago, and you know, Mother Teresa would get a lot of attention. You know, why did she get so much attention? Because she, although her theology was really not correct in a lot of things, her attitude towards service was something that was very admirable, because she is reported to have said something along the lines of, I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And that is a good thought for everybody to take on. I believe that is very scriptural. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And that's exactly what Jesus was teaching in the parable of the talents. You can do something. I can't help everyone, but I can help someone. So Dorcas here helps these widows. And so she helps them. And it may be that you can help widows, or you can help the elderly, or help those that are young parents, or whoever it might be. And Dorcas played this role in helping those that were so appreciative of what it was that she was able to do. Dorcas had a desire to help, and she did help. And 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16 tells us that widows sometimes are going to need help. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16. If anyone who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. So, consider who it is that you are to love and to serve. And remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. We mentioned this just recently when we were talking about Samaritans, and Samaritans were not looked upon favorably by the Jews or the Greeks, and the Samaritans were considered outcast, and people did not want to have association with them. But what we see in the Good Samaritan is as the man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among robbers and was beaten and left for dead, and the priest goes down the road and passes by on the other side, and the Levite came to the same place, and when he saw the man on the side of the road, he passed by on the other side, and the Samaritan had compassion upon him. The Samaritan helped the one that he came in contact with. And so that's a good place to start, is to help those that you come in contact with, those that you know have a need. And that's what Dorcas did. She was helping those that were among her, and she knew that they had a need and was helping them. You don't have to get bogged down with thinking that I can't help the whole world and I can't help everybody. But you can see a need and you can take care of it, just like Dorcas did, just like the Samaritan did in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Also, we don't have to wait to be asked. Just do what you could for whom you could, when you can. So this was not, evidently this was not Dorcas' assigned job in the Joppa Church of Christ garment making ministry. This is something that she took on herself. She was full of good works. That was her. That was her work. Her headquarters was her home. And she was somebody that was caring for widows in a very, very helpful way, and also in a way that was so much appreciated by those that she did that for. The people were distraught when Peter came to town over her death. And too often we see things that need to be done and wonder, when is somebody going to do something about that? We haven't had elders very long, but if churches that have had elders for a long time, they may have brethren that think, when are the elders going to do something about this? When are they going to do something about that? When is somebody going to do something about these things that need to be done? We need to think about what it is that we can do. And we see that in our everyday life. And the good way, to get an assignment where I work is to bring up a suggestion. If you bring up a suggestion of something that needs to be done, you know that it's going to be assigned to you. But that's funny, isn't it? How that works. That when we see something that needs to be done, we don't need to be thinking about who else can do this besides me, because I don't want to do it, but somebody needs to do it. Dorcas is doing something. She is taking care of a need, and she's greatly appreciated by those that she took care of. And Peter saw that, and Peter restored her life to her. It's really a wonderful thing that this happened. In Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, we read about another account that involved widows. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Now in those days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists rose against those Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Procurus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. So what we see here happening is the brethren came to the apostles and said that the widows were not being taken care of. And so what did they do? And they said, well, our hands are already full with other work, and we'll find others to help take care of this. And it was taken care of. And you know, it makes you wonder if there were others that could have taken care of it already, if they had just taken that on themselves. And so don't wait for others to do something. Serve. Do what you can, when you can, for whom you can. And I think that's a good example that we see here in the example of Dorcas. What you can really glean from the New Testament in the early part of the church and stories like this one is the great amount of work that the early church was doing that was accomplished by those who saw something that needed to be done, and they did it. And they helped take care of others. We see that the church in Jerusalem, there were many that needed help, and there were others that dug in and helped with that work. Hardworking, devoted disciples look for how they could use their abilities to serve others and serve God. And so that's an example for us as well. Let's be like Dorcas, and when we see something that needs to be done, we do it. And I think it's something that we can definitely learn from. And not that the goal is to be appreciated by others, but you see the appreciation that was and the admiration that others had for her, because she was doing what she could with what she had. And that's what God expects of us as well. Hope this will be useful to you and an encouragement to you as you try to emulate the good examples that we see in the scriptures of how we should live our life. If we can help you in any way this morning, you're subject to the invitation, you desirous of obeying the gospel, we'd like to help you in any way we can while we stand and sing.